I love the Lord and you, you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. And he watches over me. Watches over me, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh yes, he gave me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love. Thank you, Lord. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love. I love the Lord. Amen. Amen. We want to say good morning to you this morning. And welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us, our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We're just thankful to be alive today. Amen. Thankful for the grace and mercy of our great God in heaven. If you're watching by way of television, thank you also for joining, tuning in with us this morning. We hope and pray that we can say something that will touch your heart, that will minister to you. If you have a question, you need to pray with someone, talk with someone, call a number on your screen, and we'd love to talk with you this morning. More than that, we'd love to absolutely see you one day soon in our place. If you're watching, we know that you're in Houston or you're in the surrounding area, and if you're not providentially hindered, we know you might enjoy the television program. We think you'll enjoy it better if you come and visit with us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, right on the corner of Interstate 10 and Waco Street. Amen. God is good. God is good. I've entitled the lesson this morning, we're coming from the book of Philippians in the New Testament, and first I didn't have a title, but I said I better put some kind of title on it. Simply a touching letter to the saints, a touching letter to the saints, and it is, some of your Bibles call it an epistle. Epistle is a letter. The Apostle Paul, the human-inspired author, through the Holy Spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit, he writes this letter to the Philippians, and I'm going to dive right in. I wish I had time to read the entire letter, but time will not allow that, so I've selected some text to read. We'll begin at verse number 7. You need to stay with us this morning. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you. It's a touching, emotional letter about you all. You find that Paul, he first met the Philippians in Acts chapter 16. I believe it's on his second missionary journey. And he stops in Philippi and preaches and teaches. And people are converted to Christ. And here in this letter he writes, he's now in jail. He's in prison, and he writes under those conditions. It's probably impending death is on Paul. He's not certain of the future. And he has a lot of time. He's in prison, and he writes this touching letter to the saints. And he says, it's only right for me to feel this way about you all. And you don't feel a way about somebody unless something happened in the past. You know, something really touching happened in the past. Go back to the 7, he said, because I have you in my heart. You know, everybody don't get in our heart. And, we ought to love everybody, but sometimes things happen in relationships, in our circles, that people penetrate our hearts. And you remember when somebody does something and it touches your heart, don't you? Yeah. And something happened to touch Paul's heart. Then he said, since both in my imprisonment, so you know he's in prison, or at least was in prison. So since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. And so he writes to the church, says, I've been thinking about you, and you're in my heart. And I just can't get you off of my mind. And even while I was in prison, you cared for me, cared about me. And as I was preaching and teaching the gospel, as I was being opposed by others who were against me, and as I was trying to confirm to the people that I was preaching to that the gospel is true, is real, it touches life, you've been partakers or partners of grace. Use the word favor, grace with me in more than one way. One way is that they are Christians. They are saints, like in here right now. Many Christians are in here right now. So do you not know we are partners? Yeah, we're partners. We share in some of the same things that we go through, some of the same challenges we go through. We share in those challenges. And so we are partners, but we are more partners when we share more things together. Yeah, we're more partners. Now the Philippians, they were partners in that they shared the gospel, some of the same things. People were opposing them. They were opposing Paul. They were opposing them. Some of the Jews didn't like it that now that they are Christians, some of you in here right now, you have become Christians. And I say Christians, you're a member of the body of Christ. You're a member of the church of Christ. You might used to be something else. And now you are in what you have come to realize is the truth of the gospel. And you know what? When you make a stand for truth, when you make a stand for right, when you make a stand for wanting to do good, you're going to get some opposition. Amen. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. You know, some people oppose you because they don't want you doing something different than them. Some people don't want you to show them up per se. Some people just don't like it that you're trying to get your act together. Yeah. Some people don't want you to be around them because it's like a mirror on them. And some people will openly oppose you, and some folk will oppose you behind your back. And some people will even, naive Christians, some people will even scheme against us. And that's the part that I had to kind of come to grips to, Gary. Everybody, see, it's some folk that really don't, will if it will go out of their way to make you trip and fall. Yeah, I've had to come to grips with that in my ministry. And not that you are paranoid, that you're schizophrenic, that you will go about worrying about people, but you have to be aware. And that was sometimes that Paul had to be rescued out of some places because some folk say, Paul, you better help him get out of here or somebody going to kill you. And he writes, he said, they're partakers. They were partakers in that way. Then they were partakers also that they helped Paul. See, we partners in here, but when you are in the trenches and you assist people and you give them water and food and money. Listen to verse 5, this is Philippians 1, verse 5. Now, he said, I feel, notice verse 7, he says, for it's only right for me to feel this way about you. Why do you feel this way, Paul? Look at verse 5. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, it's because you participated. Like, we have members who come, and listen, it's wonderful that you come to worship, but I mean, this is just a short, you know, we're in worship an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we worshiping and praising our great God, but this is just part of our commitment to God. It's just, it's a smile. This is where we get to get to praise and glorify our grace and say, thank God for being so good to us. But when you get out in the trenches, you know, when somebody dies in the body, and you take off your lunch break, and because you are not off work, but you want to go at least show your face to be in partnership with one of your family members to show them I'm with you. Yes, and that's not my, you know, see, some people think, well, you don't need to be a song leader, you don't need to be an elder, deacon to be in partnership in the gospel. So many ways that when we do things because we have this common commitment and they participated in the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ and sharing this gospel. And they were in participation with Paul, and they encouraged him. And Paul was in prison now. You know, when you are hard times, you know what? You want to think about the people that you know care about you. Yeah, yeah. And that's what one of the benefits of being a Christian. That's why I know it's good that we come to worship. But boy, being a Christian is more than just coming to worship. Lord have mercy. That's 7 days in a week, 24 hours in a day. Anybody need some encouragement just this past week? Somebody to call, write a letter, say something, pat you on the back, send you some money, visit your mom, your cousin. Somebody need to write somebody in jail. Somebody just needs something to help you to get through this crazy job you go through. Yeah, yeah, and boy, it's good to have somebody in the body of Christ that you can call on the phone and pray other than on Sundays. Yes. Yes, and that's the partnership, that's the participation. And brothers need brothers. Hey, look, listen, if you are a young man in this world right now, you need some partnership. Man, you need somebody to, hey, man, hang in there, man. Don't let them get you down, brother. No, man. Hey, look, I'm with you. Hey, man, what you need? Let's pray. Man, I'm having some trials. I'm having some struggles, man. I'm having some temptation. Hey, listen, I've been where you've been. Hey, it ain't worth it, man. Look, I know it's tempting, but, hey, man, it's not worth it, man. Stay with your wife. Man, your wife is good. And they don't need to hear that from a sister. They need to hear that from a brother. Sometimes. And sisters need to say, baby, I know it. Am I crazy too? Yeah, I'm dealing with it right now. She gonna be all right. Sometimes they get like that, baby. Just pray. I tell you what, be quiet, be nice. Now see, as a Christian woman, you don't hear this from worldly women. Worldly woman, you call a worldly woman. She did what? Oh, come on over here. Come on, girl, let's go shopping. But when you're in partnership with the saints, you get saints' encouragement. And boy, look here. They needed in Paul. Now, you see, in, I believe it's Acts 16:12, Paul and Timothy went through Philippi. They went through Philippi. And then you see, let me see if I can hook it a little bit. Go to Acts 16:14. In verse 12, I won't read it all, but in 14, a woman named Lydia, this is in Philippi, on the coast of Philippi. Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics. Purple fabrics, very expensive fabric. Lydia probably was a well-off woman, a businesswoman, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Notice this. Now, she was a religious woman. She was a worshiper of God, but she was not saved. Does that say something? Yes. If you're watching by way of television, don't you understand that just because you speak God's name, just because you're even sincere in what you're doing, does not necessarily mean that you are saved. Yes. According to the scriptures. And Lydia was a worshiper of God, but she was not doing the will of God. And Paul came through Philippi preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're no longer under the old law. You must accept Christ and his word and his will. And Lydia responded to that, and she was excited about that. Just like somebody may have come in here searching for the truth, and you've been on the wrong path. Thank God you are here today to hear his word. And Lydia heard that word, and then in verse 15, and when she and her household had been baptized, notice, they heard the word of God. You're going to hear an invitation when I finish in just a few moments. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. She believed it with all of her heart. She repented of her sins, confessed Christ, and she was baptized. Her and her household were baptized. It brought great joy to Lydia. She urged us, notice, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed on us. Now, she was not only a Christian, but she opened her house to Paul. Even more partnership. I wish, you know, and I know we do a lot of fellowship in here. We have a fellowship tonight, activity night, we call it. And we try to do things every now and then so the whole body can come together and get to know each other and talk with each other and get to know our kids and fellowship and laugh and talk so we can have time together. We need more time together. Yeah, I know we can't know everybody, but Lydia was so happy that she got baptized. And she said, Paul, I'm a fellow Christian, and I'm trying to live for God. Come please, share some more. Share in my household. Now, that was then, but here when Paul writes the Philippian letter, he's in jail. Actually, it's years later. And he longs to go to Philippi, and he can't make it right now. Why? Because he's in jail. And he says, I want to send Timothy to you. Later on in the letter, you say, I want to send Timothy was with him the first time that he went. And now Lydia, Paul leaves Philippi, and the church still participates. They send him money. They send him on his way and gifts and praise the Lord. Yeah. They're partners in the gospel. And then jump down to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and we're going to another part of the letter. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, notice how he speaks to them, how he talks to them, to the saints, my beloved. And that's how you talk to people you love. Amen. Yeah, you talk to people. How we say things, what we say makes a difference. Does how we speak to people. You know, when you come to church and you know, how we speak. Did you speak to anybody this morning? I know it just depends on where we come in. We leave and, you know. If you're a Christian, let's work on, I know we different personalities. Let's work on being nicer. Amen. What you say about that? Amen. Yeah. Christians ought to be nice people. Yeah. Brother say, not just at church. Amen. Yeah, when you see me in the mall, you can say, hey, Brother Gary. Somebody be like, I don't want the preacher seeing me in the mall. Yeah. Can I call you beloved? Yeah. You can call me. You know, I mean, you maybe don't have to want to use the word beloved. Can we call each other family? Are we family? All right. Yeah. He said, my beloved. This was touching to me when I was reading this. I read it all. And he says, just as you have always obeyed. Now, that's strong right there. He says, now, he went there. He preached there. Many Christians were converted. And they obeyed. Notice, they obeyed the gospel. And not that they were necessarily perfect, but he said, just as you've always obeyed. But then he says this. He says, not as in my presence only. Because you know how we get sometimes. When the boss man is there, yes, we got a lot to do with this shit. And we really, yes, how you doing? Customers come, how you doing? Yes, and when the boss man leave, we try to see how much we can get away with. You start hiding, and I know none of you do that in here, but you know, some people do that. And he said, This is how you can tell when you know, because, you know, when we teach our kids, when we teach them, you know, what's right and how to act and how to be mannerable and how to, you know, take care of your responsibilities, you know, sometimes you don't know if it sticks. And how you can tell is when they're away from you. Yeah. Yeah, you can tell when they're away from you. Yeah. I have a sad story. I just don't want to tell it because it might depress you. But you know how we say, "I know my child didn't do that." You ever anybody? Ever, well, okay, no. it hurts when you think a person is one way, and they've true colors. And Paul said this about the Philippians, but not now much more in my absence, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence while I'm gone. Then he tells them, he says to them, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He admonishes them. He tells them how much he cares about them. He says, oh, my beloved. He says, you've been servants, and I know you've obeyed. I've watched you. And he said, but look now, not just while I'm here. Not just while I'm here, but now, listen, I'm gone. I'm not there. I'm in prison. He says, listen, but church, he said, look, keep working on your, some people say, well, you know, there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Absolutely not. We can't earn it, but anybody in here need to work on something? Oh, listen, you better keep working on, not only we must not only work at our salvation by doing something constructive, intentional, we also must work out our salvation. And he tells this to the church. He says, in fear, listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, Hebrews 4, 1. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. You know what would be, in the Fairwater Church, we have some wonderful senior saints. Our senior saints but they are probably one of our most active collective groups. I mean, they are always ministering. We have something. They are showing up. They are going places. They are doing things. And somebody at the church ought to say, praise the Lord. You're to be commended. Thankful that we don't have lazy senior citizens. We don't. I mean, you know, Brother McElroy, Brother Cleveland Joseph, Brother Willis, they coordinate and they plan. They coordinate for our seniors, and I'm talking about they like, hey, what are we doing next? What we got? What's going on? That's like they don't want to let no grass grow under their feet. And it's not just going; it's doing, ministering, and teaching. But it's fellowship. And seniors, can I say this to you? I want to encourage you. Don't you stop working out your salvation. Amen. Just because you over 70, 60. What's a senior citizen now? As I get older, it's getting higher and higher. I got a letter in the mail from AARP. They've been sending me, Mr. Smith, you haven't registered yet. I'm not a senior yet. They want me to register. Why did you say that, Brother Gary? Just because you 70 don't mean you in heaven yet. Amen. Keep working on it. Don't get cantank. Don't get like some seniors. They're not members here. But don't get like some seniors who just because they older They think they can do and say anything. And they'll tell you, hey, look, don't worry about what me, but this is what I do. Don't leave me alone. No, you need to keep working on it, amen? Keep, stay humble. Stay prayerful. Don't get cantankerous. Don't think you can just say something to somebody any kind of way just because you older. Now, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not fussing. I don't want you throwing bullets at me. So. Yes. Salvation is not accidental. Yeah. It's something we're going to have to work at. Now, we might not be in the same place. Good parenting is not accidental. Amen. Amen. Don't it take some work? Amen. Lord have mercy. And even when you're working, you find out you're still. Good stewardship is not accidental. Good marriages just don't happen. Good habits in this life. Paul, he writes to the Philippians, oh, I love you so much. You've been obedient. Listen, don't stay humble. Be fit. And see, fear, this awe of God, it just keeps us humble to understand, listen, even when you think you have arrived, don't get too high-minded. And understand that you don't want to trip up and fall and not make it across the finish line. And that's why we ought to shudder a little bit, and it keeps us humble. We ought to shudder to just say, Lord, please don't just help me to keep continue follow. Help me to continue obeying your will, obeying your word. Help me to keep studying so I don't misinterpret what's in your word. Amen. Revelation 14:13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest. Notice this, from there. That's why. Be careful when you're going around. Don't tell folk that you once you get baptized, you in God, you're gonna be saved. Because you don't rest from doing nothing. Your labors and your works do, and their works do follow them. Then go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. As I hasten to close. I can't get to the best part. Well, all of it's good. But he tells the saints, he says, do all things without grumbling or dispute. He says, now you Christians, you saints. He said, but don't live a Christian life and be a complainer. You know how we know you had a truth, but you start complaining about. Listen, you have been saved by grace through faith. You have obeyed the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ from the heart, but it's according to his will. What do you mean it's according to his will? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now when they heard this, what did they hear? According to Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. They heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how Jesus came, he lived, he died, he is coming again. And now you're a Christian. You're saved by grace through faith. But don't become a grumbling Christian. We've been saved. Listen, do you understand that we have eternal life? If we just hold on, if we just keep working, you are in Christ Jesus. So don't be walking around grumbling and arguing about what God has for us to do. He says, without grumbling and disputing. It's like we mad that, why we got to do this and why we got to do that. And we don't have the spirit of Christ. Why is that? Because listen to the rest of the passage. Do all things without grumbling or dispute. Now that you're a Christian, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. Notice this. God wants us to be a light in the world. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Let me keep reading. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, God wants more people to be Christians. In the generation in which we are living, if you become a Christian and you continue to look like folk in the world, you're not going to lead nobody to Christ. And you know, we complain about everything. I mean, you know, we know here, especially at the Field Water Church, we know that there are some things we need to improve. There's always things that need improving. But let's don't lead the charge and down in everything. Because whether you realize it or not, maybe you need to go visit a little bit around. Whether you realize it or not, you are blessed. Notice this. We are blessed to have 10 men who can sit on this front row. Amen. As some churches don't have 10 men in the church house. We have young families. Don't complain about the little babies. We need babies in the church. Amen. All these children, I come to church and they just cry. Yeah, we love the children. Don't complain about running children. You used to run when you were small. You used to tap stuff, cry, and do all of that when you were young. Somebody was tolerant with you. Let's have positive spirit so people can see Christians who love God, who love each other, and they want to be a part of the body of Christ. And so Paul, he's right. He's trying to tell, now that you saved, now you are a saint. He said, now live. Notice, let me finish reading. And I got started. Okay, children above reproach in the midst of a creed, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. See, notice this is not just emotional. It's not just glory, hallelujah, let's come and praise the Lord, although it is praising the Lord. It's also following the word of God. Everything is based on the word of God, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I'm not running vain nor tall in vain. Paul says, I want to be able to say myself that the fruit, the labor was worth it. Then he said, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Paul says, everything that I go through, and even if I die, still would be worth it. And so to us as saints, don't want to become Christians. Let's stop finding fault. Don't quarrel with it. God's commands were given to be obeyed, not argued with, not disputed with. Yeah. And he wants us to be blameless. Blameless is to be not injurious of any to any in word or deed, to give no occasion for offense. We should strive not only to be harmless but blameless, not only not to do hurt, but not to come under the suspicion of hurt. In other words, we don't want anybody to look at us and not want to come to Christ because of the way we acted. And then, okay, good. And then in verse number 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. And Paul is an apostle, and he has a special measure even of the Holy Spirit, in that during this time in the first century he had gifts, but God didn't give him everything. And he still had some anxiety, if you will, because he didn't know exactly what lied in the future. He knows he's in jail. And he knows that at any time they could come in that jail cell and say, we're having your head. And so he takes advantage of the time. He's writing this letter to the church, and he's trying to encourage them even in his down. Question for us. Can you encourage people even though you're going through some trials? It's beautiful to see somebody when they're in the hospital and you're going to visit them, and all they do is ask about you. Oh, Lord, it's so humbling. I go to the hospital, go some out of time, visit somebody, and they say, well, how are your children? Well, Brother Gary, how are you taking care of yourself? And in my mind, I'm like, no, I'm I came to minister to you. And they are thinking, concerned about you. Boy, I tell you what, because you know, not everybody not like that. Everybody can't, some people can't wait till you get there. Yeah, I had 17 surgeries. I'm not. Yeah, my children, they took my lights off and I'm not downplaying, but some people love to complain. They major on it. And you know you're growing spiritually, and we're not there. God's still working on us. We still working out. Understand, sometimes we don't know it. We don't hear ourselves. Sometimes we don't know how we sound. We will complain and so much that it has become our nature. And Paul is in jail. And it is not about him. He is thinking about the church, everybody else. And in doing that, he is also receiving the merciful grace of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I say, man, how in the world he right now? He says, I hope to send Timothy to you soon so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. So in other words, Paul says, I want to send Timothy because Timothy was there the first time he went. It's because I want Timothy to report back to me how good you're doing. And he says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Now, you know, that's something in and of itself. He says, Timothy was there with him when he went there first. He says, look, I'm not sending anybody to you. I can't send anybody because everybody don't. See, some people are out for their own gain. Let me read it to you. He said, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ. Even in the Lord's church, you have Christian ministers, people who are supposed to be working in the name of the Lord, but they got ulterior in the church. But you know what? When you're around people long enough, you can tell what they're about, can't you? I mean, if you open your eyes, you're right, because people can't hide it for very long. If you have somebody working all the time, they ask them, well, look at how much you going to pay me. Or what do I get out of this? Yeah, and Timothy obviously exemplified this. He said, you know what? I'm sending Timothy because I know Timothy is going to be for your good. He says this, but you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father, brothers and sisters in the Lord's church. People, brothers, our leaders, you know, you keep working for the Lord, you keep doing God's will, and God sees it, first of all. God knows it. And you will, don't do it for your glory, do it for God's glory. And the Bible says you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will exalt you. He'll lift you up. And I'm telling you, as sometimes in our elders meetings, you know, we're talking and you think in a church this size that, you know, see, with so many people, but the harvest is plentiful and labors are few. And when a brother or sister is working in the name of the Lord, they're not doing it for glory, they're not doing it for show, somebody's gonna know. And those type of individuals are valuable in the kingdom of God. As Paul understood it, he says, therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. He was also converted while they were in Philippi. But he's there ministering to Paul. And I have 3 minutes, and I'm going to finish this. my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need because you sent him to me. That's why I said the Church of Philippi participated in the gospel. They sent him to Paul to minister to him. He said, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick, but he got sick while he was ministering to Paul. And he was there ministering to Paul, and he got sick. They heard about it. Then he says, I sent him back to you, for indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. And Lord spared him and had mercy on him, and he had mercy on me, because if I would have lost him, I might have died myself. And see, no, this church relation. See, church is more than Sunday morning. Yeah, there are those in the church right now in this Fieldwater Church of Christ. And many of you, the whole church might not know what you are doing, but God knows. And notice, you are true servants, not that you are preaching, not that you are teaching a Bible class, but when you are ministering to anybody that's in the name of the Lord for the kingdom of God's sake, you are God's servant and valuable in his kingdom. And there's so many things that we can do in the name of the Lord. I don't know what he was doing for Paul. Maybe he was just, you know, Paul had, you know, he had a thorn in the flesh. Maybe he was ministering to his health. Maybe he was cooking for him a day or two. Maybe he was bringing food. Maybe he was going out doing errands for him. I don't know what it was. But Paul said, if he died. And so I say that because as we are working out our salvation. You can do it in so many different ways as a Christian. Some of you write letters. Some of you type things. Some of you send things. Some of you send care packages. Some of you call people and pray with them. Some of you do things just behind the scenes. You bring things for the pantry. You all kinds of things that we can do in the name of the Lord. This is a letter to the saints, to encourage us, young or old, in the body of Christ, as we live in our lives every day trying to be saints and Christians. And listen, stop. We don't need to judge each other either on this. Now, I'm telling you, I'll say this, and I hope it's not received in the wrong way, and I hope it doesn't excuse anybody. But I've come to find out in my young ministry, see, some people have a hard time making it to church. Now, you're not in here now, or maybe you are here. I've gotten a few calls from individuals who say, Gary, I have enough gas to get to my job, to get to worship, and I have to map out everything, and I just don't have a lot of waste. And sometimes when you don't see me, and I prayed, and we were talking about some other things, and it just, you know, some people serve God in so many different ways. I'm not excusing it because, see, collectively we are the body of Christ. Yeah. And we assemble together, and it is power in the. So you can't do this by yourself. You can't work out your salvation by yourself. But if we are, as a body of Christ, and we are sensitive to each other's needs, it helps us to minister to each other better. I hope and pray. We have a nursery program for our kids here, for our children, for our young children, and we need to flourish it. We need to make it where a mother who has young children, who wants to come to church, she's able to come and worship the Lord. We need to make it where, because see, if we don't have children in here, we're going to stop growing. And if we don't take care of our children, our Bible class, some of you that don't want to be out up in the forefront, come go work with some of the young classes. Sit in the class. You might not teach in the class, but sit there and be a support in the classroom. as we work out our salvations. And see, one of the things that work does for us that we cannot underestimate is it keeps the devil off of us. There is so much joy in active participation in the work of the Lord. And it'll help us. We were here yesterday with the preacher's boot camp. We had 20 plus brothers, and we did practical ministry. We did some teaching. We went out, and we've all felt so good being together. So that's power in numbers and strength. And Paul wrote that to the early saints. He writes it to us. And I encourage us here at the church, the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, the body of Christ, even all around this city, don't try to do this by yourself. It's too discouraging. Some of you right now, you need some encouragement for things that's going on at home. Some encouragement just you're single and you're trying to do right and live right, and it gets tough sometimes. Participate in our singles program. Go in sometime. Go on a fellowship. Talk to somebody else who's going through some of the same trials that you're going through. If you're here today and you're not a member of the body of Christ, of the church of Christ, you need to do that today. Amen. I've extended the invitation even already, but you come to Jesus by faith, by hearing his word, by believing with all of your heart, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Christ, by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what the Philippi saints did when Paul first came. There are many of them. But it don't stop there. He added them to the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the church of the living God. He added them to the church that you can read about in your Bible. And Lydia, even though she was religious, when she was in Philippi, she was seeking God, she still wasn't saved because she hadn't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is in the scriptures today. And she obeyed the gospel. God added her to the body. And we're all working out our salvation. Someone today here needs prayer. Someone today here needs to be added to the body of Christ. Then we extend that invitation to you this day to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free